Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. And with the first hour, we're going to hear from Angel Flight, which is something that we really want to hear about. And then in the second hour, we'll have Anchor coming in talking to us. They've got a... it's a certain week that we'll talk all about, but it's my pleasure to start off with Warren Sparrow, and he's with Angel Flight. Welcome, Warren.
Thanks, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. Now, Angel Flight, what do they do? They're not angels flying around the sky. Well, yes, they probably are. But what actually is Angel Flight?
It's a not-for-profit charity which has been set up to provide rural Australians who have long distances to travel to get to medical appointments, that sort of thing.
Just medical appointments?
Yeah, yes. It's not for emergency services at all, because that if you need medical intervention of any kind along the way, you need either the air ambulance or the flying doctor. Yep. So basically, it's a glorified taxi service.
Yep.
And they get flown down for free, and then a driver picks them up from whatever aerodrome they land at and drives them to their hospital or accommodation, whatever they're heading for.
Now, let me just ask you that. So who decides that somebody's eligible for the Angel Flight? Is it the local doctor in the area, or who makes the decision and says, I think this person should fly down?
It boils down to pretty much a local medical person, yeah, and whoever they are, they have to be registered with Angel Flight. That's just a simple form that they can do on... It's all website-based. You go to the website. If you're a medical professional, you fill out that form, yep, and then all you do, once your bona fides are established, then all you do is ring up Angel Flight and say, I've got someone needs to get to Melbourne next week.
All right. So is it based on income? Like, I mean, how what's the difference? All right. So it's not, it's a taxi service, we'll say. But who decides that, hey, no, this person could pay, or is it like that? Or is it just a case of whoever the doctor says should have it gets it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's just basically the need to get down. There's no income test applied to it.
Right.
The only requirement that is really placed on people is that they must be able to get in and out of light aircraft, which can be fairly constricting and difficult to climb into.
Yep.
So if you're not able to do that, then you can't travel.
But we also need to cover... Angel Flight isn't just aircraft, though, is it?
Well, no. No, there's the driving side of it.
Yep.
That's what I do. I'm what's commonly called an Earth Angel.
Yep.
And that usually...
you stay on the ground.
Yes, yeah. Causes a bit of a snicker, I know, but with the surname Sparrow, I've already got the wings for it, you see, so I'm well qualified for that. So, yes, the Earth Angel just picks them up, say, from Essendon or Moorabbin Airport.
Yep.
Might drive them to the Children's Hospital or the cancer clinic.
So part of your transport of the drivers, like yourself, you're the ones that, when they bring them to Melbourne... You're the ones that go and pick them up and then,
yeah,
take them to their appointments.
Yes.
Well, sorry about that. So, but then if you lived in, say, Healesville, they're not going to order a plane to pick you up at Healesville and take you to the city, are they?
No, so, that's right. No, that's not going to work that way. And look, there's no real clear cut-off, probably sort of beyond Bendigo. Bendigo is probably just close enough, Ballarat likewise.
Yep.
To be able to drive down. But if you get to Shepparton, in Victoria, you'd go out to the South Australian border, Hamilton, Warrnambool, places like that, and the other way out to Lakes Entrance, somewhere out there. And look, it's not a geographical thing either. It's not within the border of Victoria. That's all Victorian drivers do.
Right.
A lot of it depends on the medical need of the person. If the only place they can get their medical help is here in Melbourne,
yep,
then they'll be flying down. So there's people come down from Balranald and Hay.
Oh, so it could be over the border, but for whatever reason, the medical condition, they need to come to Melbourne rather, yep, than Sydney.
And I guess a lot of that depends on their medical professional in their hometown,
yep,
and where they want to refer them to.
Right.
So if their specialist is down here, then that's where they're coming.
All right, so I want to go into this a little bit deeper, but I've just got to take a break in a minute. But, pardon me, these pilots don't all... Well, first of all, they're not being paid, are they?
No, they're not.
So the second thing is that not everybody who's a pilot owns a plane. So what I'm getting at, that these pilots, actually, not only are they out of pocket, because A, they're either flying their own plane, which is going to cost them money, or B, they go out and hire a plane and they cover that cost. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And while there is no formal payment made to the pilot, Angel Flight does reimburse them for the fuel cost.
Oh, that's fair enough.
So, look, a tip. I had a friend who did a lot of flying for Angel Flight. He's retired from it now.
Yep.
But he's based at Essendon. If you went up to Albury and picked someone up and flew them back to Essendon, after Angel Flight had covered part of his fuel cost, he was putting $450 into the community each time he did that. Yeah.
Gee, that's terrific, isn't it? So we need to acknowledge that, because very often when you talk about these sorts of groups and that, people just think, oh, yeah, well, they're being paid to do that. But, in fact, they're worse than being paid, because it's actually putting their hands in their own pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Warren, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Community Connections. I'm talking to Warren Sparrow from Angel Flight. We're hearing a bit about Angel Flight, but also the drivers, because someone has to get them from the airport, these sick people from the airport to the hospital, and others who are too close, not worthwhile flying to get them, they get driven to hospital. So out of the percentage of your pilots, I know this might not be within your realm, out of your pilots, how many of those do you reckon are owner-operators, and how many would have to actually go out and hire the plane to do the trip?
Well, look, I would say it's probably 60% are owner-operated, and then perhaps 40%. But that's just a rough guide.
And that's, as we're saying, it's a fair cost to them all. So how often would a normal pilot, out of your pilots you've got, say in Victoria, how many would you have, do you think?
Look, I've only got the total figure for Australia, and it's around about 2,500 pilots, I think.
2,500?
On the books, yeah. And look, that might have changed with COVID. Probably a few people have dropped off the roster. Yep. But, and so look, it's the whole thing is website based, so they post the jobs as the jobs come up.
Yep.
And both the pilots and the drivers go in and look at them. Oh, yes, I could do that one next Thursday.
Oh, right.
And then you apply.
So age of flight don't actually say, well, hey, hang on, Warren, you should be doing this.
No.
It's up to you people to have a look.
And look, that was the beauty of it for me, that but it's something that's so it's very flexible for you because you only apply for what you can do.
Yep.
You're not committed to a Wednesday or a Thursday or whatever. And that's great. You can fit it around your family life and your other events and makes it very easy to volunteer and do it.
So how many do you reckon out of your pilots roughly would be retired? Because apart from the ones that are retired, they're still out the cost of the plane and running the plane. But if a person's not retired, it's even worse because sometimes you've got to take time off work, don't you?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. And look, I don't know about... Don't know about the age grouping there because you don't see the whole spectrum of, you know, all the pilots that are involved in Australia.
Yep.
But one thing I know is that a lot of the younger guys, well, guys and girls, I tend to use guys as non-gender specific, but the younger people, if they're still trying to build their hours up, say to qualify to get into ANZIT.
That's gone.
Remember ANZIT?
Yes, I do. It's long gone.
Virgin or Jetstar.
And so is TAA.
Yes. So if they want to get into Virgin or Jetstar, they need a certain number of hours.
Yep.
So they get their fuel costs sponsored by Angel Flight.
Yep.
And that helps to reduce the cost of them getting the hours up to get into.
But then they've still got to get time off during the week to do it. Well, most of this would be Monday to Friday, wouldn't it?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Because if you're not doing emergencies, well, then there's no real need for them to be up in the air on a Saturday and Sunday. All right. So what... And again, this is an awfully hard question for you to answer. How many of them do you reckon would be, or why would the biggest reason is that they put their hands in their pockets? Because let's be honest, it's costing them a lot of money whether they own their own plane or whether they're hiring, and hiring's even worse. Why do you think the biggest reason is that they get involved?
Look, I think it's the same for the pilots and the drivers. We see the difficulties, we understand the difficulties that rural Australians face, and therefore we want to make it as easy for them as we can. So this system allows them to get here for nothing. If they get delayed, if they have to stay an extra night, Angel Flight will pay for accommodation in a hotel for them or whatever. And also, if the weather goes, say, really rotten and they're here and the pilots are not able to fly their aircraft, then Angel Flight will try and get them on a commercial flight and they will pay the cost of that as well, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Gee, that's a pretty fair thing to do. But, all right, so you've got these pilots. What do you reckon is the average age group? Or am I asking you, that's a bit unfair?
No, I'd say 50-ish is probably the average. A lot of people, as you mentioned before, retired people looking to make a contribution. And, a lot of people I've seen are in that over 50 group. And then quite a few younger ones as well. So, yeah, somewhere around 45, 50,
I'm going to ask you another hard question too. How many of those do you reckon own their own plane?
I would say the majority, at least would probably you? 60 or 70%, are flying an aircraft that they own themselves, and the others are just the younger people who are looking to get their hours up.
Yep. So I understand that you were involved with aircraft before you got into Angel Flight, and that's probably what helped you, am I right?
Yes, indeed. I was an air traffic controller for 30-something years, and when I retired, Angel Flight gave me an excuse to go and haunt the aerodromes and not look like a tragic old controller.
Well, that's probably pretty fair deal. While you were as a traffic controller, what would have been the highlight of your job?
The highlight of my job?
Oh, were you involved in something where you brought a plane in that you weren't sure what's going to happen, or was there anything like that ever happened, or was it all fairly routine?
No, look, I guess it's much more the lowlights that spring to mind because you see, especially if you're working in a place like Moorabbin or Parafield, where there's people with less experience, they can lose control of the aircraft. And so, yes, you can see accidents and that sort of thing. Not necessarily fatalities, but some accidents. And that's a bit a bit of a downer for a couple of days for you.
Yeah, I guess on a basis, though, I mean, when there's when there is a fairly big accident with aviation, there is usually a few people involved. But I guess if you want to do the percentage of air crashes to flights as motor accidents to traffic, you'd be far safer in the air than what you would be on the road, wouldn't you?
Ooh, I don't know whether I want to answer that.
Is it?
Yeah, probably, I think, yes.
I would have thought you would have been, whenever there's an accident in the air, we hear about it, and it very often includes multiple deaths because it wipes out whoever's in that plane, and sometimes they're very big ones and sometimes they're only small ones. But they're not that often.
That's right. It's the rarity of the aircraft accidents that makes them very newsworthy. Yep.
Whereas, I mean, unfortunately, like, I think it was a fatality yesterday, the day before, and then there was four the day before that. So, I mean, I guess you're a lot safer in the air.
Yeah.
So what sort of diseases or complaints do the people have that get flown down or driven down?
Well,
mainly cancer?
Yeah, look, cancer, burns victims who are going for treatment and that sort of thing. And once again, it's not an emergency service, so they have to be fit enough, well enough to be able to get down, but just to consult with a specialist or whatever service they need. I had a young girl who was born with a club foot, and she was having the prosthesis adjusted on that every 4 to 5 months.
Yep.
So she would fly down and go to the specialist and they would adjust the prosthesis and they got her foot pointing the right way.
With Angel Flight, what would be one of the most amount of times one person's had to fly? Are they normally once or twice or are they multiple times?
No, one girl that I was associated with from Albury,
right.
She did over 300 trips down.
300?
Yeah. Because she was coming twice a week counselling for her problem. And in the end, Angel Flight said to her, look, we can't. It's not a bottomless pit.
Yep.
We'll have to cut you off. So they gave her plenty of notice.
Yep.
And I believe that a church group helped to sponsor her coming down.
I was going to ask you that because, I mean, no matter how good the group is, no matter how financial they are, there has to come a time when they say, well, if we keep funding this person, someone else is going to miss out. Nobody's got a bottomless pit.
No. And look, that young woman from Albury... she has now gone on, to not really needing the Angel Flight service anymore. And if I can just cite her as a classic example, when I first met her, she was a very shy retiring person.
Yep.
She had anorexia, so she was very conscious about eating in front of people.
Yeah.
And then over the period of 4 to 5 years that I have known her, she's now progressed from being a retiring person stuck at home. She's now completed a nursing course.
Terrific.
And while she hasn't settled on nursing, she's working in admissions department in a country hospital now.
Terrific.
So she's gone from being a very shy retiring person to someone who's actively contributing in the community. And that's a lot to do with Angel Flight.
Yeah, and I suppose too that when you have to fly some of these people to Melbourne for their treatment, maybe as they get better too, that they can, the treatment isn't so bad that they can get them treated closer to home rather than always having to come to the Melbourne hospitals. Is that right?
No, I would say there's probably a certain element of truth to that,
right.
I wouldn't put a great deal of emphasis on that because, this young woman, she did the 300 trips or so down because she really needed that twice a week counselling to keep herself on the straight and level. And another girl in Queensland, she had kidney disease. She was flying into Brisbane for dialysis.
Oh, yeah.
That kept her going for a long time. Regrettably, she's passed away now, that one.
Oh, bad luck. Yeah. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to go out on a break on a bit of a downer there, weren't we? All right, we'll be back with more. I should have mentioned too, the very first track I played this afternoon was Tina Turner and what was it called? Proud Mary. It was Ike and Tina Turner. I should have mentioned that the reason I put that in, of course, Tina Turner passed away last week. It's a bit of a debate. I mean, some people heard she was 83 or 84, but she was a terrific performer. And, gee, she was still alive. And, well, when I say still alive, I mean on the stage when she was well in her 70s. She, terrific lady, but sad to go. I'm talking to Warren Sparrow from Angel Flight. We talk all about their flights. A couple of things. If a person, you mentioned the girl in Albury, and we don't know any more about her, and we're only going to use her as an example. So forget about when she got to 300 flights. She wouldn't necessarily get that same pilot every time, would she?
Oh, no, yeah. No.
All right, but she's booked in, we'll say, on Wednesday to come to Melbourne. So are we saying that a pilot probably had to fly from Melbourne to Albury to pick her up, bring her back to Melbourne, and then in the afternoon fly her back and then fly home again?
That can be the case sometimes if the pilot has the time to put into both those trips.
Right.
Of course, it's a long, involved process for the pilot. If he's got to be in Albury at 9 o'clock, he's probably got to get out of bed at 4:30.
Yeah, he probably does,
check
too.
The weather, put in his flight plan, organise all that.
Yep.
And then get to the airport, inspect the aeroplane and make sure all the bits are in the right place on it.
Yep.
So they put in a long, you know, it can be a long day if they're going to do the two legs,
yep,
the inbound and the outbound leg. So sometimes it's a different pilot in the afternoon. And the same with the drivers too, that sometimes a driver can only do the morning trip and he's got something else,
yep,
in his private life in the afternoon. So then another driver will volunteer for that.
Right. So with Angel Flight, if a person... they have to be outside a certain area. You were saying before, inside that, you don't supply a taxi service, do you?
No, we don't. We don't do the driving at all, no.
The driver is there to meet the pilot or the plane,
yes,
and then take them and then bring them back to the pilot again.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Right.
And look, you're probably aware there's a lot of volunteer driving groups that would,
yep,
would assist with those yep, shorter legs.
But I'm not sure where the Red Cross, they used to run a fleet of cars too.
I believe they still do. I've spoken to someone in my eye specialist's rooms actually, who had driven someone down from, I think it was Ballarat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they, I don't know, one of the groups down in Lilydale, they supply cars to run around doing
that.
Yeah. All right, so Warren, COVID-19 hit. What sort of effect did that have on Angel Flights, or were you still able to fly?
Yeah, look, there were, you know, the usual forms to fill out to give you an exemption,
yep,
to be out on the road,
yep,
but it dropped probably 95% in the volume of...
So the people weren't coming down.
Yeah, people weren't coming down because they probably, you know, to get into hospitals and things, it was extra hard,
yep,
and consultations, that sort of thing, it all became too difficult. So only the really needy ones that really needed an important consultation for some reason. And I did two or three trips, and like everybody else who was on the road then, I was in great trepidation about getting pulled over by the cops. What are you doing, sort of thing.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be back with more.
The crystal chandeliers light up, the paintings on your wall, the marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. Will the timely crowd that has you laughing loud help you dry your tears? When the new wears off of your crystal chandelier. I never did fit in too well with folks you knew. And it's plain to see that the likes of me don't fit with you. Traded me for the gaiety of the well-to-do, and you turned away from the love I offered you. Oh, the crystal chandeliers light up, the paintings on your wall, the marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. Will the timely crowd that has you laughing loud crystal chandelier. I see your picture in the news most every day. You're the chosen girl of the social world, so the stories say. But a paper smile only lasts a while, then it fades away. And the love we knew will come home to you someday. Oh, the crystal chandeliers light up the paintings on your wall. The marble statuettes are standing stately in the hall. What will the timely crowd that has you laughing loud help you dry your tears? When the new wears off of your crystal chandelier. When the new wears off of your crystal chandelier.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me Warren from Angel Flight. We talk about that. Warren, something we haven't touched on, and we don't like to talk about money, but, I mean, these things have to be... have to be paid for. The pilots don't get paid, but someone's got to pay for the fuel and that. So how does Angel Flight, do you do fundraising, or are you looking for tax deductible donations, or how's it funded?
Yeah, look, it is primarily through donations and bequests from people. Yep. There's a lot of support, community support. Some of the airlines support Angel Flight by providing reduced cost fares where they need to fly home on a commercial type flight.
Yep.
So that's a big help. But Angel Flight has no active fundraising section at all.
Doesn't it?
Look, there was a scam running a little while ago. People were getting rung up and having someone say, I'm from Angel Flight.
Yep.
And would you like to make a donation? And I say to all the listeners, if you get anyone doing that, keep them on the phone as long as you can so that they can't get to anybody else and then hang up on them, because it's a scam.
Right. But can people donate to Angel Flight?
Yes, certainly. If they go to the Angel Flight Australia website, there's a link to a donation section there. And the good thing about Angel Flight is because there is no active fundraising section, if you make a donation of $1 million this year, someone's not going to ring you next year and ask for another million.
Yeah.
Or if it's $2, they're not going to ring you and ask if you want a book of raffle tickets. Yeah. There's no follow-up whatsoever. Right. So
you just donate.
And that's it. If you want to donate again, fantastic. Yeah.
So I hesitate to ask this, but we need to, because I know there's a lot of concern out there. Out of every dollar that Angel Flight raise, what percentage would go to actually providing the service as against overheads?
Yeah, look, it's a 15%, 85% split, and the 15% is for basically the overheads, the rent for the office, which is based in Brisbane. I can't think of the name of the suburb now, but anyway, Fortitude Valley. That's it, Fortitude Valley, yeah. So that pays for the cost of that, and then the 85% goes to the coordination of the flights. So that's... There's four coordinators who are paid in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty steady job for them to be organising. They run up to 20 flights a day.
Well, as you say, you'd be organising a fleet, but not only in Victoria. So it's all around Australia, really.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Is it only down the seaboard, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane?
Or look, it is predominantly the eastern seaboard, yes, but there's some activity in South Australia, much less in Western Australia, because the distances tend to defeat, you know, the light aircraft pilots there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little bit in Tasmania. I think the first flight ever done by Angel Flight was out of Tasmania, and it was actually a respite flight for someone who'd been suffering down there for a long time.
Yeah.
They flew him up to the Gold Coast and put him up in a hotel for the week and gave him a good time.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Gee, and so that was one of their own pilots that did that.
Yeah.
Gee, that's terrific. So you were just saying before that some of these have to go home on commercial flights because you just can't get a pilot or because of the, you know, there's no pilot going that way, is that right?
Yeah, that can be the case if there's no pilot available and circumstances can change as well, of course. Like you might have a pilot all set up to fly someone down here and then on the day of the flight, the weather is bad enough to prevent them from being able to fly. Now, the two choices there are either the pilot will say, it'll be all right this afternoon, and then one of the coordinators in Brisbane has to reorganise all the times with the specialist and everybody, or possibly get them onto a commercial flight if there's commercial flight access within reasonable distance of their home. That's the other hurdle there, of course. Yeah. Like Albury, you've got Rex Aviation in and out of Albury all the time, Mount Gambier, similarly.
Yep.
There's other flights as well. Sharp Airlines, they go in and out of some of the smaller spots as well.
I've got to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more. And have your paper and pencil ready because I think it's a terrific operation. So we'll tell you how to get in contact with them if you know somebody that does need the Angel Flight Services, or why not throw a few dollars their way. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes, about 3 minutes' time, and have your paper and pencil ready, please.
Straight road and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep. And the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are a-glued to the wheel. My eyes full of sand from the way they feel. And the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a starting to pull. The gauge on the tank is a showing near full, and the lights coming over the hill are a blinding me. There's rain on the road, and I can feel the load start a shifting in a dance. I see the posts and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind. And I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they will tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill.
That was a great Slim Dusty, and I put that in because his wife Joy McKean died only a couple of days ago. Unfortunately, out of all the 150,000 songs we've got, we didn't have one by Joy. I don't think she did a lot by herself recording. I know she sang a lot with Slim, and I couldn't find any on our computer where the two of them did. But anyway, we're not here to talk about it, but we've lost a couple of great singers in the last week with Tina Turner and also Joy, and Unfortunately, we're losing a few of them because they're in their 80s. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Angel Flight with Warren. Warren, all right, so we've got some people today that really like the idea and they want to donate some money or find out a bit more. So obviously you're going to talk about Mr. Google, but is there any other way they can find out about it, please?
Yeah, look, the office is in Brisbane, so they've got a toll-free number, which is 1-300-726-567, and that's 1-300-726-567. And also, yes, the Google site is angelflight.org.au, angelflight.org.au.
So that's two things. If people want to donate to help the cost of this, but also if you've got anybody that's listening that knows somebody that could use the service, they go to the same site, don't they?
Yes, correct. Yes, just go to that Angel Flight website and it will come up with all the information they need.
Yep.
There's actually a facility there to make a donation. Yep. If you want to, there's a page for that, and also there's information on how you qualify for Angel Flight, all that sort of thing.
But people don't book themselves in, do they?
No.
It's got to be done through the health professional.
Yes, their health professional in whatever country area they're living in.
Yep.
They also have to be approved by Angel Flight.
Sorry, I was just distracted. Shouldn't have done that. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I guess it's got to be the health profession because, you're not just supplying joy flights, are you? I mean,
no, that's right. You can have someone show up with their surfboard, couldn't they? You know, they bring up and book a flight. Oh, we're going to Phillip Island, you know.
Yeah, have a great weekend and then go home again. Yeah. Out of the people that you've driven, and obviously you pick them up at the airport and then you take them there, out of those people, what would be the average age group? Because as we've been talking, I've tended to think we've been talking about adults, but there's a lot of children because the Royal Children's Hospital is one of the best children's hospitals in Australia, isn't it?
Yes, that's quite so. And look, I wouldn't hazard a guess as to the average age because I've seen both ends of the spectrum. Young children, 3, 4, 5 years old, coming down for some kind of assistance, and then younger people in their teens to 30s. Yeah. And then older people, perhaps the senior citizen element, if you like, and dare I say, over 60. I fit into that myself.
Don't pick on them.
The over 60s, obviously, they are a lot more liable to have some kind of problem that needs attention.
Yep.
And so, yes, there's a higher incidence of people over 60.
Not that we want to get into it too deeply, but would they be mainly cancer sufferers that are coming out? Because there's not a lot of facilities in the country for cancer, is there?
No, and look, once again, that's a hard question because, I see such a small sample of who's flying. I mean, there's been 54,800 flights.
And you haven't met them all.
And I haven't met them all because they're all happening across the border somewhere else a lot of the time. So that works out at 2,700 flights a year. Now, or a mission, they're called missions.
Yeah.
So a mission is just one leg. So if they fly down and fly back, they're on two missions.
Two missions, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So look, it's only a small percentage I see, but look, cancer is probably pretty high on the numbers there.
Well, because often, in places like Shepparton, they've got hospitals where they can do operations and a lot of those things, but a lot of those places don't have the cancer opportunities for treatment as what Melbourne has.
No, quite so. Yeah. We've got the Peter Mac here, of course, which is world renowned for its cancer work, and as you said before, the Children's Hospital also world renowned.
Do you have we've talked a bit about these planes? Is anybody in your group fly helicopters or are they all just single wing?
No, look, it's an absolute rarity for a helicopter to be involved because they don't have quite the airspeed.
No. And they don't travel all that far either, do they?
No. So an absolute rarity. I'm not saying it's never happened.
Yeah.
And there might have been a specific need for a helicopter for some reason somewhere, but it's nearly all fixed wing aircraft.
Yeah. Well, I guess the answer probably is going to be no, but I need to ask you, when some of these flights are coming in, are any of them that sick that an ambulance has to meet them? I know they're not, you're not an emergency thing, but can they always just be picked up by a driver, or do you get occasions where an ambulance has to pick them up?
No, if that was the case, that would be a situation where the person commenced the flight in a situation well enough to be able to get in and out of the aircraft,
yep,
and not need medical intervention.
Yep.
But, of course, you might have a heart attack in flight.
Yep.
So then the pilot would just go to the normal routine that he would do for that,
yep,
try and select the nearest suitable aerodrome,
yep,
to get medical help, and then, yep, yes, you'd probably arrange for an ambulance to meet the flight.
I'll just ask you one thing. In your old profession, not all country airports would have an air controller, would they?
Oh, no, no.
So it's only in Victoria, would it only be the three, like Moorabbin and Essendon and Tullamarine, or...?
Yes, that's the three, four. Avalon, of course, is the other one here. But,
yep,
yeah, and Albury is sort of, I think the aerodrome is actually across the border in New South Wales.
Yep.
But don't quote me on that.
No, that's all right.
I'll have to have a look on Google.
I moved it. So, look, I think it's a terrific idea. I think it's, you know, you're talking to people that are probably at a very low ebb. If it was an emergency, it'd be worse still. But even if it's not, I mean, you're still talking about people who are at very low ebb, and diseases don't discriminate. They don't only go to people who've got plenty of money that can afford to fly around. And I think these pilots and people like yourself who drive around have really got to be congratulated, because you're all putting your hands in your pockets, if not for it's the time. And some of these flights with a pilot could be a couple of hours each way, couldn't they?
Oh, yes, very easily, yeah.
Yeah.
But look, I'm sure the pilots feel the same as the drivers do. You're getting a tremendous reward out of doing it, because, yeah, you're helping people, but also you're meeting very interesting people. I've met a ship's captain from out at Lakes Entrance who was coming down for treatment, and Broadacre farmer from out past Hamilton who told me all about using GPS for ploughing and all that sort of thing, so... It's a real learning curve as well.
Warren, unfortunately, I've got to go. Google Angel Flight, donate if you can, and certainly spread the word. Now, I know Warren, and I've very quickly got to wind up, I know Warren will come out if you're a group, and he'll come out and tell you all about it. So ring that 1300 number for
Correct.
Warren.
Correct, yep.
What was it again, please, Warren?
It's 1-300-726-567.
And he'll come out and tell you all about it. Thank you, Warren, for coming.
A pleasure.
Thanks.